Birdie didn't get out of his truck, just rolled the window down to hand me a torn-out sheet of spiral notebook paper. In his familiar cursive handwriting, I read, "Pulmonary adenocarcinoma, invasive." He shook his head, shrugged. "They want to stick me full of needles again," he said. A year earlier, my husband Roger had convinced Birdie to try to beat back prostate cancer, even though the 76-year-old maverick despised doctors' offices, hospitals, and all things medical. The treatment was successful, though, which helped explain why Birdie agreed to give chemo another go when he learned he had lung cancer. This time, it didn't work. Birdie died at home in his own Alva bedroom, exactly where he wanted to be. Though he was widely known as the honorary mayor of Charleston Park, a tiny neighborhood originally built for farm workers, Birdie preferred his own label, the Black Redneck, on account of his country ways, his fondness for backyard chickens and collards, stewed opossum, and cane pole fishing. He dressed the part with relish, overalls, work boots, and a wardrobe of cowboy hats ranging from serviceable Stetsons to iridescent purple numbers. Country-style neighborliness was something Birdie took completely to heart, acting as a one-man social service agency. He planted gardens for his elderly neighbors, shuttled the ones without cars to doctor's appointments, and delivered food to the sick, whether they were black, white, brown. If anyone had a post-traumatic right to avoid white people, Birdie did. As a young man, under the cover of darkness in a borrowed car, he'd had to rescue his mother and seven younger brothers and sisters held in sharecropping wage slavery on a white man's plantation in Georgia. Then he came of age in segregated Southwest Florida. Yet none of that seemed to register in his behavior. Birdie offered his friendship to anyone he saw as a kindred spirit. Kids and Birdie, pure magic. He knew our now 13-year-old Nash almost from the day he was born, and they were fast friends. Birdie showed Nash, whom he quickly nicknamed Dasher, how to plant sugarcane, dress out a wild hog, fish the Fakahatchee, and drive his big white pickup truck. But that's our little secret. He adored his grandsons, and though he was far from a wealthy man, Birdie tried to make their childhoods as rich as his had been poor. For decades, a long-haul truck driver, Birdie supplemented his small Social Security check by collecting cans from ditches and neighbors to sell to recycling plants. That didn't pay much, so when the holidays approached, he and his wife, Pansy, would bake sweet potato pies from scratch. Then he'd go make sales calls with photo of the boys tucked in his hat brim to remind his customers where the proceeds were going. And it was for those boys, in large part, that Birdie wanted to stick around as long as he could. If it could have been accomplished by force of resolve alone, Birdie would still be here with us. He had formidable willpower. When he was in his early 50s, after years of smoking and drinking, he decided enough was enough, and he quit both just like that in a single day for the rest of his life. It's not always easy to live by your own code, but Birdie did. Once he and Roger happened to be talking about funerals, of which Birdie didn't think much. "All those flowers and nice words and hoop-de-da, don't give me that," he told Roger. "If you're going to do something, do it while I'm alive. Do it while I'm standing here. You want to give me flowers? Pick 'em. Come over where I can smell 'em and see 'em now. I won't be smelling flowers later. You want to say something nice about me? Come over here and say it. I won't mind hearing it." Yes, the man lived by his own advice. This morning, I walked outside, and there was a pink rose bush grown from a cutting Birdie had given me years ago, still blooming.